Welcome to The Other Side of Wall Street with your host, Ron Harrison.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Other Side of Wall Street. My name is Ron Harrison, and I'll be your host again today. And if you've been listening in any of the past episodes, past few weeks, you'll know that we've been spending quite a bit of time talking about trading psychology and how fear, greed, and ego would definitely affect your outcome, your trading results, your profits. Last week, I felt it was time to make a shift. And again, since this program is, the goal of this program is to teach you how to trade successfully, how to increase your profits, how to lower your risk, and basically how to trade, as we talked about at the beginning, how to trade like the house. In other words, be the casino, not the gambler. So in order to do that, we have to build a foundation. So I felt it was time that we start actually getting more technical and talking about the vehicles that we use to trade, how we trade them. And so last week we started, and the topic was options. Since the theme and since the main thing that we will be doing is selling options, we will be sellers of options. And we talked about that. Remember, we said that the buyers of options have a very high degree of failure. I think the odds are up in the 90% range that all money spent buying options is lost. But in a world of a zero-sum game, like the brokerage industry, if the buyers of the options have a high 90% chance of losing, then there has to be another side to that deal, and that is the sellers. So the sellers would have the same and equal chance of winning, which would be 90% chance of winning. So that's the side that we are on. That's the side we will always be on. So anyway, so in order to learn how to do that, we have to start building a foundation. And part of that is explaining to you how options work, the components of options, and so on, before we can actually get into the nitty-gritty of actually making trades, constructing trades, and so on. So last week, we started talking about some of the basic concepts of options, of who an option buyer is, who an option seller is. And if you missed that, go back. All the episodes are archived on our website. Go back, listen to last week. So today, as we always do, I want to pick up where we left off last week and continue on. So a small recap, possibly. We were talking about why would you do a call or why would you use a put. So just to recap, a buyer of a call option has the expectation that the underlying security is going to move up in price. Remember, that's the buyer, not us, the buyer. And as we've already stated, a call buyer has the right to control a bullish or long directional position of 100 shares of stock for a specific period of time at a certain strike price. So again, each option that either you buy or you sell, each option out there covers 100 shares of whatever the underlying is. And when I say underlying, I mean if the underlying is Apple, the underlying could be Microsoft, the underlying could be SPX, the S&P 500 index. Whatever the underlying is, one option controls 100 shares of that instrument. And as we said last week too, all options are going to have a specific lifespan. They are all going to expire at a predetermined date. So those options will stay in effect until that date, and then they will either be exercised or they will be expired. Worthless. So again, as we've already stated, the buyer has the right to control a bullish or long directional position of 100 shares of stock for a specific period of time up until expiration at a certain strike price. So if the stock price increases, then the value of the call option increases, which is what most buyers, most gamblers that purchase options are crossing their fingers and hoping. They are hoping that whatever underlying is, whether it's Apple, Microsoft, Intel, S&P, whatever it is, increases in price during the time that that option is alive, in other words, before expiration, that underlying will increase in value, hence their option will increase in value. But the problem with that scenario is with the gamblers, as we mentioned it either last week or the week before, gamblers are a funny group. They, again, if you want to use the analogy of Vegas, they want to put down a little bit of money in the hopes of making more or a lot of money. So typically in the option world, the options that these gamblers are buying tend to be very cheap, inexpensive options. And we're going to find out a little later why and what determines whether the option is cheap or expensive. But just keep in mind that that it's part of the gambler's mentality. In other words, the part of trading psychology, in this case, the psychology of the gambler, which ends up ultimately causing them or leading them to buy something that is pretty much worthless and will never see the light of day. Hence, that's why they tend to lose everything they spend on the options, which is why option buyers have such a high degree of failure rate, up in the 90%. So that's just a preview, but we're going to get to more of that in a little bit. In other words, a buyer of a put option has the expectation that the underlying security is going to move down in price. We just talked about a call, now we're talking about a put. So a buyer of a put option has the expectation that the underlying security is going to move down in price. So as we've already stated, a put buyer has the right to control a, this time, bearish or short directional position of 100 shares of stock, again, for a specific period of time, up until expiration, and again, at a certain strike price. So if the stock price decreases, then the value of the put option increases. So just kind of the same as call, just opposite as far as direction goes. Now, on the other hand, a seller, now we're talking about us, a seller of a call option has a neutral to bearish view of the underlying security. But he has or she has the obligation now, not the right, but the obligation to fulfill the terms of the contract if the option buyer, the gambler, decides to exercise their option contract. So remember, buyers have rights, sellers have obligations to fulfill the buyer's rights. Now, the option buyer pays a fee to the option seller for this right. So the buyer is paying us a fee, and that's called the premium. So remember, the buyer has no obligation to exercise the option contract and turn it into a bullish position in the underlying security if it's not profitable to do so. Now, remember again, I just talked about the fact that most option buyers are gamblers, and they want to buy cheap options. And again, this is a preview of what's something that's coming up soon. So the fact that they're buying such cheap options, very rarely those options ever see the light of day. They ever actually produce a profit. So hence, the premium that we are collecting to sell those gamblers their options is ours to keep, whereas it's theirs to lose. So that's, we talked about a seller of a call option. A seller of a put option, again, that's us, has a neutral to bullish view of the underlying security and has the obligation to fulfill the terms of the contract if the option buyer or the gambler decides to exercise his or her option contract. Now, the option buyer does, again, as with calls, the option buyer pays a fee to the option seller, that's us, for the right, and again, that's called the premium. So, in short, the option seller is at the mercy of the option buyer in regard to exercising the option contract, because the buyer has a right to do whatever that option allows him to do, and us being the seller has the obligation to fulfill whatever they decide to do. And that is why we get paid money for that, for taking on that obligation. And that's, again, the premium. And that is the money that we make. That money goes into our account up front. It's ours to keep. And then we see how the whole game plays out. But you're going to see in a little bit that it is very one-sided in our favor. Now, probability is our friend. So why would we want to take on an obligation in the first place? Doesn't sound like it's a good idea, actually, does it? But I'm going to prove you wrong. The reason that the option selling is such a useful strategy, if used correctly, is because of the probabilities involved. Remember, we talked about a few episodes ago, in terms of casinos and lottery ticket sales, probabilities is what they base their systems on, especially casinos. Laws of probabilities. Option trading is all based on probability and statistics. So many investors or option buyers tend to see option buying as a lottery type of trade. Remember I said the same thing, the gambler mentality, where they know it will only cost them a small amount of money to play. So if the stock makes a big move, then they will receive a nice return for a relatively small investment. But if you look at any research, you will see this very, very rarely ever happens. These losing trades are actually very low probability trades, and most of them are close to expiration, far out of the money, which we call OTM options, out of the money. And we're going to talk more about that later. But people are still drawn to the gambler mentality. But any trader that continues to lose on a regular basis won't last, and we'll see his capital disappear, which is basically what a lot of beginning traders see. A smart option seller will want to be the one that takes the other side of these low probability losers and turns them into high probability winners for them. In fact, what you're doing as a seller is exactly the same as the state takes with the sale of lottery tickets, or casinos take with their customers, their gamblers, coming through the door day after day after day. Probability is our friend. So before we go too much further into this stuff, I want to give you a couple key terms. So we're probably going to be talking about it as time goes on, in case you're not aware. So an option is traded on a national options exchange, such as the Chicago Board of Options Exchange, which is known as the CBOE. And these have fixed strike prices and expiration dates. So each listed option represents, as I said already, 100 shares of whatever company's stock. And that's also known as a contract, an option contract. So for call options, the option is said to be in the money, ITM, if the share price is above the strike price of the option. And a put option is in the money when the share price is below the strike price. So the amount by which the option is in the money is referred to as intrinsic value, I-N-T-R-I-N-S-I-C, intrinsic value. Now, options expire different times. It used to be they only expired on the third Friday of each month. But now, as time has passed, we now have options expiring Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, monthly, quarterly. So there's a wide assortment of expirations available for pretty much any option you want to buy. And there are also options with holding times of 1, 2, 3, or multiple years, which may be more appealing for long-term investors. So these options are called long-term equity anticipation securities, otherwise known as LEAPS, which is a trade that we use quite a bit. And we'll get into that as further down in future episodes. So by providing opportunities to control and manage risk or even speculate, LEAPS are virtually identical to regular options. However, they provide these opportunities for a much longer period of time. And they're not necessarily available on all stocks, but they are on actually most stocks. So before we take our break, to summarize everything up, options are not an investment unto themselves. Keep that in mind. An option's value is derived from other sources. Hence, options are considered derivative investments. So the most important thing to remember is that as a buyer of options, you need to predict the direction you think the underlying security is going to move, and do this in the time allotted before the option expires. So you have to be right in direction, and you also have to be right in the amount of time it's going to take to get there. And that actually is a pretty hard thing to predict, if not impossible. So many investors believe they can predict where stock is headed in a very short time frame. They are lured into playing that hunch by buying cheap options that have, like I said, little chance of ever seeing the light of day, very little chance of seeing success. So once again, we're going to focus on how we can take advantage of those probabilities and turn those opportunities into our gains. And remember, I said before, a few episodes back, when we were talking about trading psychology, you have three types of psychology. You have your own trading psychology, you have the gambler psychology, and you have the mass market psychology, which is made up of everybody and how they think. So your advantage, remember we said before, when you want to create a really good, workable profitable trading plan, what you have to do is create an edge. You need an edge to make things work and to profit. Well, in this case, your edge will be, is first off, you understand your own psychology and how to control your emotions. But number two, and it's more specific to what we're talking about now, understand the gambler's psychology, how they think and what they do and why they do it. And once you know that, it's very easy to really capitalize on what they're doing, because what, as we know, with the even any statistic you read, 90% chance of losing, obviously they're doing something wrong. And as long as we understand what and why they're doing what they're doing, it's relatively simple to take advantage and cash in, which is exactly what the brokerage houses do on a daily basis. That's what I did when I worked at the firm in the department I was in. So anyway, we're at break time now. Let's take a break. We'll come back and continue this.
Here's another look into the world of trading.
Hey, traders, want to jumpstart your trading? Well, I would assume that since you're listening to this podcast, that your answer would be yes. And as they said in The Godfather, what if we made you an offer you can't refuse? And that's exactly what we're going to do. How would you like it if we gave you all the trades we make in our own accounts in real time so you could trade right along with us and profit as we do? And what if we met once a week for an hour to discuss our current trades, any other trades you may have open, plus discuss any problems you may be having in general with your trading? And that's one full hour of group coaching each week. Also, what if we threw in an additional one half hour of private one-on-one coaching each month to privately work on issues you may be having with your trading? It could be things you didn't feel like sharing in the group sessions. Also, what if we threw in a weekly end-of-week market review analyzing the past week's market and what to look forward to for the upcoming trading week? That will be delivered to your inbox every Friday after market close. And what if we threw in a free copy of our latest book, Reprogramming the Trader's Mindset, to help you get your trading emotions of fear and greed back in control? And what if we also sent you our monthly newsletter packed with trading tips and upcoming market events? That would be very useful, I'm sure. And to cap it all off, what if we gave you a 30% discount on all of our live 3-day trading seminars? So altogether, this adds up to $1,269 in monthly value, plus another $1,680 in course discounts to use whenever you like. And if you think all this sounds good, then you must realize that this is a very powerful addition to your trading business. And as with any business, in the beginning, you will need a mentor or support team to help your business grow and to keep you on track to achieve your maximum trading potential. So the small cost to this extensive package is only $49 per month. And of course, you can cancel at any time, but since you will be making far more than the cost of the program by just copying our trades, we doubt you're going to want to cancel. So don't wait any longer. Sign up today. Go to tradersacademy.org. Again, that's www.tradersacademy.org. And do it soon, because memberships are limited. And it's our promise to you that if you copy all of our trades and you don't make at least double the first month what you paid, we'll gladly refund your subscription payment. So join us, and together, let's make some money. Okay, we're back. I just want to take a second here and say that I know that some of these episodes, some of the components of some of the episodes might end up being boring, but it's incredibly important that you stick with through this, because think of it like a puzzle. If you dump all the pieces of a puzzle out on the table and start putting them together, some of those pieces, you know, as you're putting them, might be kind of boring. Maybe they're all the same color. Maybe there's nothing going on there. And then other ones, or other parts of the puzzle, get more exciting and more interesting as you start assembling it. But you can't have a finished puzzle without all of the pieces. And that's what I'm trying to give you in these shows. So some may be more fun. Some you may see dollar signs right away. Others you might kind of yawn and say, okay, whatever. But all of this is equally important. And in many cases, some of the stuff that might appear to be a little more boring, chances are, is probably more important. So keep that in mind. And like, for instance, another thing I want to bring up, the other night, this past Tuesday, I was holding one of my monthly meetup sessions. And one of the ladies there was talking about how she had signed up for a trading service because she wanted to learn more about options and how they work, how to trade, just everything that we're trying to teach here in this, these episodes and what we teach in our classes. And she had gotten into several trades, and the one she was telling us about, they were, it seemed like they were a couple of them were losing trades. She was losing money. And as we got talking, I kind of asked why, why are you in? Because we did some research on the particular stock she was talking about. I said, why are you in this stock? And or why did the trading service put you in the stock? And the answer was something like, I don't know. I mean, he just sends me the emails, and I take the trades. And to me, that's so typical. And I, so many people out there want to learn how to trade, but they don't know how to do it, where to go, what's the right way to do it. So they end up signing up for a lot of these services. Just send you trades. You get on them, you win, you lose, but the person selling the program is the one making the money, not the ones taking the trades. So I looked at it as kind of like the old saying that, you can give a guy a fish and feed him for a day, or you could teach him how to fish and feed him for his life. And that's kind of what we try to do here. I don't want to just tell you, get into this trade and you're good to go, because you won't know why you got into it. You won't know why you got out of it when you got out of it. You won't know anything about what and why you're doing what you're doing. You're just blindly following. As opposed to what we want to do is teach you all the basics, all the details of how and why and what to do, so that you can figure it out on your own and make your own decisions and know exactly why you're doing it and actually learn from the process. So anyway, just wanted to say that. So now let's get back to our subject on options. So remember, options are not independent investments, and their values are based on and derived from other variables. So most of the value, however, is based on the price movement of the underlying security. So the market makers on the options exchanges use a very precise software to price each option according to all the conditions that exist at that very moment in time. So what I want to do now is explain to you why options are why options cost, why the buyer has to pay a certain amount, why you collect a certain amount, why options are worth what they are at any given time, and how the different how there's different components involved in an option to make up those values. So the price or the premium, remember we talked about premium, that's the money that we collect when we sell an option from the gambler who's buying the option. He is paying us a premium. So the price or the premium of an option is dependent on several variables. And they are, number one being intrinsic value. That's I-N-T-R-I-N-S-I-C, intrinsic value, which is the current price of the underlying security versus the stock the strike price of the option. So that's the current price of the underlying versus the strike price of the option. And we're going to talk more about those terms later also. Then part two is extrinsic value or time value. And that's E-X-T-R-I-N-S-I-C value, extrinsic value, or better known as time value. And that is represented by the days that are left to option expiration. Remember, we said each option is going to expire on a certain date. So basically, when you buy an option or when you sell an option, you're dealing largely in time. If you're the buyer, time is your enemy, because every day that ticks by, you have less time for the underlying to perform in the direction and to the price that you think it's going to go. Whereas if you're the seller, time is your friend, because every day that passes by, there is less time for the underlying to perform the way the buyer thought it would. So it's the buyer's goal for the option. That's the buyer's now. It's the buyer's goal for the underlying to move in that specific direction in that specific period of time. It's the seller's goal for the underlying not to move in that direction, and the option expires worthless. We keep all the premium. So that's the first thing that's involved in time value. That's the days left to expiration. Number two is volatility. So, and we're going to talk more about that in future episodes too, but volatility, maybe what's going on with the underlying company. Did they have good earnings? Did they have bad earnings? Did the CEO quit? Are they involved in something to do with the tariffs and the trade wars? Anything that causes the stock to be more volatile, that volatility shows up in the options value, in this case, in the extrinsic time value. And then dividends play a small factor too. If we're coming up on a dividend day, that affects the price, but that's the smaller of the three. So let's look again at the two option pricing terms. I hope you guys are taking notes because it would help you a lot. So let's talk about those. We have, again, intrinsic value, INTRINSIC, intrinsic value, and EXTRINSIC, extrinsic, or better known as time value. I always like the joke. I always tell people that they say, what do you do for a living? I like to say, I sell time, because we're selling options, and options have, like I said, a specific period of time before they expire. So we're selling time to the gambler so he can hope that the stock does what he hopes it's going to do before the clock runs out. So I like to say, I sell time. So intrinsic value is the relationship between the price of the underlying security and the strike price of the option. The three terms describing intrinsic value are, and there's three, every option has to either be OTM, which stands for out of the money, ATM, which stands for at the money, or ITM, which stands for in the money. So every option has to be in one of those three states, either out of the money, at the money, or in the money. No else. One of those three. Intrinsic value tells us whether the option has any real value to it at all. Only in the money options, whether they're calls or puts, can have intrinsic value. You have to be in the money. If you're at the money or out of the money, no value as far as intrinsic value goes. Out of the money options, like I said, and at the money options are worthless options. That, by the way, is what we sell. So keep that in mind. We sell options that have zero value. All they have are time value. So what I like to say is we sell junk. I don't know if you're old enough to remember, but there used to be a show on TV called Sanford & Sons. He sold junk. He was a junk dealer. Well, we sell junk and we sell time. We sell worthless options to the gamblers, giving them a certain amount of time to cross their fingers and hope that the stock does something miraculous. And 90% of the time, it doesn't. So just a little fun tidbit there. So let's go a little example, an in-the-money call example. Intel, let's just say hypothetically, which is not trading at this price, but Intel is trading at $21 per share. The in-the-money, and it's in-the-money at that point. So $19 is the trading, is the $19 call is trading for a premium of $3. But it only has $2 of intrinsic value. So to understand this, you need to subtract the call strike price from the current price of the stock. So the stock's trading at 21. The call is trading at 19. So that means that the $19 call is made up of $2 of intrinsic value and $1 of extrinsic value. Did you get that? Let's do it again. Intel, hypothetically, is trading at $21 per share, stock price. The in-the-money $19 call is trading for a premium of $3, but it only has $2 of intrinsic value. That's because the $19 call is selling for $3. But if you subtract this price of the stock, from the $19, so 21 minus 19, that equals $2. So it's in the money by 2, but it's selling for 3, which means that $2 of it is intrinsic value, $1 of it is extrinsic value, which is the time value, the hope value, I like to call it, that the gambler has. Now, keep in mind, another thing here is that this option we're talking about as an example, I'm showing it to you to explain intrinsic and extrinsic value. The ones that we sell are never in the money. They're far out of the money. So whatever the gambler, the premium that he pays us is 100% extrinsic value only. There is no intrinsic value. It's not even close to having intrinsic value. So keep that in mind. This is an example just to illustrate intrinsic and extrinsic value and how that is made up in an option. So we're getting close to the end today. Hopefully this maybe piqued your interest a bit. We're going to continue more into the technicals of options and how they're priced and how they work in future episodes. And then we'll go on from there to trades and how to trade and all kind of fun stuff. So hopefully you like this. I would like to mention one thing. We're putting together a new mastermind class. It'll be a 4-hour class we're going to hold in January. And if you would like to be part of that, those classes sell for $597 for the 4 hours, for the full 4 hours. If you'd like to attend free, go to our website, fill out the form, and all we're doing is asking you for your biggest trading struggle, your number one struggle in producing consistent results, because we want to make sure that we've covered everything in this mastermind. So any input from you is valuable to us. And in return, we'll give you free admission to the entire 4-hour mastermind class. So if you're interested in attending that 4-hour mastermind class, all you have to do is go to tradersacademymasterclass.org. That's tradersacademymasterclass.org. Fill out the form, give us your number one trading struggle or obstacle, and we'll send you free admission to the 4-hour mastermind. Otherwise, that's it for today. Thanks, and we'll be back next week and continue with this. See you then. Bye.